fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday. It is Friday, the 20th day of January, year of the Lord 2023. Welcome to the John Moore Show. And we do begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Here we go. everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip today is to inventory your library. Fill in the gaps. Books have a way of walking, away and not coming back. That's just the nature of books, in case you don't know. Once your collection gets to be 200 or 300 or more, you may want to look into the Dewey Decimal System to keep track of them and make them more easily and more quickly found. Something that's on my list of things to do and needs to be done. The combined library of the people I work with is, easily 1,000 volumes. Easily. Okay. We're expecting Tom Berryhill to call in. Once he does, we'll be talking about emergency survival communications and ham radio, one of my favorite topics. Had a meeting yesterday. He may be listening. A young man, about 6 or 7 years younger than my daughter. He's a construction supervisor, and we talked about various things here at my dining room table. And towards the end of our conversation, he was asking if he should buy silver, and I said, well, sure, after you get all the food you need for yourself and your family. I didn't mention specifically a 2-year supply, but a 2-year supply of food for the people that you expect to be taken care of. Once you've got the ammunition you need, the medical supplies you need, the tools you need, all the supplies you need to survive a grid down collapse, yes, then indeed buy silver. But not before then. Maybe a little bit here and there along the way. You find a good price or a good deal. But that's my advice to everybody. The non-precious metals, which would be steel and firearms, brass and lead and ammunition, those are the metals you need to be focusing on first before you start focusing on the precious metals. Precious metals are great. And I encourage people to have precious metals. I also encourage people to get these other things done first. At least one high quality countertop gravity feed water filter for every two adults. May sound like a lot, one for every three children, by the way. You don't want people standing in line waiting for a drink of water. You really don't. That would not be good for morale. Another similar high quality gravity feed water filter, unopened in the box, as a very high quality barter item. As has been said many times, we talk about this pretty much every Monday. The U.S. government studies show that a nationwide EMP would cause 9 out of 10 Americans to be dead within about 1 year. The majority of them dead because they drank bad water. People typically don't starve to death. Usually what happens is they're malnourished. A malnourished person, they're eating something but not enough food, not enough of the proper food. It compromises their immune system. And then a routine illness that would not be a big deal for a healthy, well-nourished person makes them so sick that they die. That's typically what happens. We do have patient Wayne in Greenwood, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to understand and comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with emergency communications, ham radio, and electronics in general. Good morning, Tom. Well, sir, here we are. We're about to wrap up January here. A week from today, we'll be at the last Friday of the first month already. And the year is moving along, isn't it, sir?
Yes, it really is.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, because of our efforts on Friday morning, we get emails from people who have got involved with ham radio, studied, got their license, got their equipment, set up their radio shack in their home. I get photographs of the radio shack and the towers and the coax and the antennas. I forward them to you. This is a way to let you know that we're doing some good here. And we are, in fact, doing some good, aren't we, sir?
Yes, we are, John. And there's people getting involved and, like you just said, setting up their radio stations. It's a great thing.
It is a great thing. So we have a favorite website. It is the very best place to get started with ham radio. It's a website. I'll say it twice slowly. ARRL.org. That's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org website. The American Radio Relay League website. The Radio League has been around for about a century. And everything you need to get started is right there, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it is. It's a good place to start. Ground floor all the way up through advanced materials for any type of electronics and radio frequency engineering. They have that and everything in between.
Right. Advanced to the point where there's the television. People are broadcasting and receiving television by ham radio. That's become more popular, isn't it?
Yes, it has. And I have a longtime friend. He was also one of my customers in the past. And he is heavily involved in amateur television. It's easier now than ever because you can take some of the digital broadcasting equipment that's readily available on the market and put it on the ham radio bands. It works quite well, and it doesn't take a ton of money to set it up and actually have your own television studio.
Well, I'm meeting with my new webmaster tomorrow. My wife, the marvelous Mrs. Moore, is going with me, and we'll be meeting with him and his wife in St. Louis to discuss, among other things, my own TV involvement, television involvement, and that's the direction the John Moore Show needs to be going, is to incorporate television, because people love television. And it's a work in progress. Looking forward to learning more about it myself. My TV studio is already set up. I got my green screen, the proper professional lighting, camera, microphone, and so forth. I've been doing TV with Doug Hagman for a couple of years, and Mike Adams about the same amount of time. So that's the direction I'm going as well, Tom. Now, getting back to the ham radio and the ARRL.org website, you can do a number of things there. One of them is to find your local ham radio club. And if you really want to get going and have a steep learning curve, becoming affiliated with your local ham radio club is the best way to do it, isn't it, Tom?
That is the best way. It really is. And you'll meet a lot of like-minded people and people that have already walked that walk and they're talking the talk so they can help you get started. It's really a smart thing to do.
Right. Yesterday, my wife had a conversation with a woman whose husband died because the kidney dialysis place that he went to was shut down due to COVID. And it is so sad, and this is not related to ham radio, but it's so sad that we have become a society where the make-believe pandemic has the casinos and liquor stores open and the dialysis treatment centers closed. How is this even possible, Tom? I don't expect an answer, but that's in fact what happened, isn't it?
Well, yeah, a lot of things closed, but that's a good question. I don't know. Don't have an answer.
I didn't expect it to, sir. And if anybody does have an answer, the call number is 512-248-8252. When you go to the ARRL.org website, there is a little search place there where you can put in your zip code and find the nearest ham radio club or clubs, plural, that you can affiliate with. Once you start going, and during COVID, most of them were shut down for their public meetings, in-person meetings, I should say. But I think almost all of them now are back to having in-person meetings, typically once a month, typically at a public place like a restaurant. It could be somebody's home. Once you start going to these meetings, you'll find men and women who have typically decades of experience, 20, 30, 40, half a century of experience like yourself, Tom. You'll also find that they're looking forward to helping somebody get started, sharing their knowledge, maybe lending tools. There may be a possibility of high-quality ham equipment or tools available at very reasonable prices to be bought or traded for. It's just a wonderful entree to get started, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it is, John, and it's important. You mentioned tools. That is one of the most important things, I think, and that's to stock up on the tools that are needed to do this type of work and any
and
other maintenance
parts.
Work. And yep. Spare parts. That's right. Yep. You won't need the tools if you don't have the spare parts.
Now, spare parts, typically for me, our favorite store, which is now closed due to COVID, by the way, Gateway Electronics, I was in there 20 years ago, and I bought half a dozen of every possible coax connector that there is. Not knowing what I would need in the future, but knowing that in the future I might need one of these possible coax connectors, or that you connect them to each other and connect them to the radio. And I have a dedicated parts box, one of those little about 18 by 18 inch with the dividers to keep them all nice and tidy. And I have a dedicated box just for electronics, which of course includes ham radio toolbox, to keep everything segregated and ready to go when I need it. That's the way to do it, isn't it, Tom?
It is. It's a good way to go. And there's a lot of specialty tools for like antenna connectors, crimpers and things like that, and the specific dies that crimp the different types of connectors. And you can get a kit. It's not very expensive nowadays. You can buy these kits that have the appropriate dies. You can also use that same crimper to put on regular electrical connectors onto the power lines and things like that. So it's pretty handy to have. You need some soldering equipment. Of course, you need socket sets, things like that. And, John, even an air compressor, nobody thinks about that. But what if we have a situation where, you know, you're really locked down and you need to fire up the tractor or the pickup truck or something and the tire's flat? So you need to maybe have some basic equipment to repair that tire and also a way to air it back up. You need an air compressor. So
right.
Those are all things to consider.
Absolutely. Well, I was discussing with my wife the new car we recently purchased. It's a small SUV, and how to make it more durable in hard times. And I said, well, if you really want to get serious about this, we'll get Michelin zero pressure tires, which almost nobody's heard of. Michelin zero pressure have sidewalls that are so stiff, you can cut out a hole the size of a quarter through and through a hole and still drive the car 50 miles with a hole the size of a quarter in the sidewall. They're expensive. But in a matter of, in a life and death situation, that could be an item that could be a matter of life and death, couldn't it?
Yes, it would be. What type of ride do they have? That has to be like...
Well, it's a stiff ride. Of course, it's a stiff ride.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, it's a stiff ride. Now, for those of you with bicycles, you can get polyurethane inserts that take the place of inner tubes. There's no air. It can't go flat because there's no air to go flat. Now, once again, it's a stiff, hard ride. Not pleasant on one hand. On the other, I'll take a stiff, hard ride, a non-pleasant ride, over walking any day of the week, wouldn't you, Tom?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's very true. Wow, how much are those tires? They have to be pretty expensive.
Oh, the zero pressure, I haven't looked into it recently. They were approaching $300 each last time I looked into it, and it's been quite a while. I had a client ask me about them, so I looked them up. There's other, I believe there's others that do, other companies that manufacture a zero pressure tire. That's a brand name that Michelin uses, zero pressure. It's generically they're called run flats. Some of them have an insert that supports the weight of the car when the tire is flat, and some just have a really stiff sidewall like the Michelins do. So it's a mixed bag. And some require special wheels, by the way, to work properly. There's a lot to this. Now, the hillbilly way to deal with that is simple. There's a couple of things. There's liquids you can put in there that'll help seal up small punctures. And, of course, if you carry two full-size spares instead of one, you're a lot more likely to get where you're going, aren't you?
Yes, that's true. And, yeah, a lot of the tractor tires around these parts are filled with a liquid. And I use, they call it green slime. I put that in my lawn equipment and all that because the tires are always getting punctured.
Right.
I get tired of messing with that.
Right, green slime helps. It helps a lot dealing with those punctures that routinely happen to yard equipment. And anyway, for your new listeners, getting your ham radio license no longer requires knowledge of Morse code, does it?
No, not at all, John. And you also don't have to be an electrical engineer to pass the test. It's amazingly simple. It's all been simplified, and the reason, one of the biggest reasons, I think, is because the times have changed. The equipment is not as complex as it was in the old days. If you didn't adjust the power amplifier properly way in the, back in the day, you could be putting out signals that would interfere with other radio services. And that was the FCC's biggest concern. Those days.
That was a legitimate concern back then. We have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. You want the same equipment, the exact same equipment, no difference, to protect your car, your spouse's car, the car that youngster off to college, the exact same equipment the Department of Defense uses for less than $400 with a $50 discount. That's what you get with EMP Shield at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Tom Berhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications, ham radio, electronics, preparedness in general. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, you're always experimenting with ways to have a portable transceiver, backpack portable, and what's the current iteration of that, the make, the model, and how many watts it's putting out?
John, most of the portable equipment that the ham operators use nowadays is, for the most part, under 10 watts. I'd say it's called QRP operation, low power operation, and most of that equipment is in the 5-watt range, but there are some newer equipments that are available, and they operate around 10 watts. And then if you look at the military type equipment for out in the field, it's typically 20 watts. And sometimes they have the ability to turn that down if needed. The radios they used, the backpack radios they used in Vietnam, in that war, were around 2 or 3 watts. They were very low power, but that's all it took. And those operated in the VHF low band, which was, I believe they were 30 to 76 megahertz. They operated in those frequency ranges, but they were they didn't have to go that far, and it worked quite well with those lower power levels. I'd say they probably could cover 5 miles pretty easily. The ham operators today, though, they're using very low power, but they're covering incredible distances with that portable equipment. Especially on the digital modes, some of those systems have done some global transmissions. I mean, they'll go worldwide with very low power, maybe 1 to 2 watts global, no problem. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. Well, the technology continues to improve. Anything involving electronics, about every 6 months, you'll find equipment that's smaller, better, and less expensive. That's in electronics in general, isn't it, sir?
It is. It just continues on, and things improve. I'll tell you what, the HF equipment they make today for ham radio operation, even the most basic types, are a light year ahead of what we had to do 50-plus years ago. Totally different. Although all of that equipment from the old days is still good to use. It's very usable, and I use that type of equipment myself. At times, some of the ham equipment I use has tubes in it, and I focus on the receiver. Although most everything nowadays is a transceiver, it's everything in one compact box. But back in the old days, you had a separate transmitter and a separate receiver, and they were huge. And then the equipment just started getting smaller and more portable. But some of my favorite equipment still has tubes in it, and actually performs as good and in some cases better than the newer solid-state equipment. It's hard to believe, but some of the tube stuff still works better, I feel. And I have actually tested these radios with some calibrated laboratory-type equipment to verify that. So they do have incredible sensitivity, and tubes are still widely in use in certain applications. The solid-state equipment just isn't there yet. And so tubes are still used, but they are slowly sliding away. So it's just amazing to watch your progression.
It is. It is absolutely amazing. Well, I've mentioned this before, and it bears mentioning again. You don't need a ham license to monitor the frequencies, to listen. You don't. And knowing what's going on in your neighborhood, your community, your county, your state, and nationwide, even worldwide, is, in my opinion, not optional. If you don't know what's going on, your mind will immediately go to the worst case scenario. Any parent who's had a teenager out for the evening, supposed to be home by 9 p.m., they're not home at midnight, you know, they know exactly what I mean, because we've all been there. So well, we're going to talk about monitoring the various frequencies when we get back from this break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website, back up running full speed, is thelibertyman.com. You would like to live in my neighborhood? Well, there's a couple of opportunities. A three-bedroom home in Bismarck, Missouri, a 40-minute drive away, is available. A very well-built structure, very tight and livable as is. Could use some remodeling, but ready to move in if you choose to. And, of course, the Log Lodge on Yoakum Road, featured in Better Homes and Gardens when it was newly built, a high-end, right now, high-end bed and breakfast, which we found out Wednesday if you want to keep it as a business, we have the current owners are willing to continue to help run that business on your behalf. And we have clientele for the log lodge on Yoakum Road from Europe, from Asia. It's an amazing home. A 7-minute drive from my place, by the way. And of course, an energy cleaner. I have energy cleaners in stock ready for immediate shipment. Got an order this morning for an energy cleaner and a mattress pad. And if you have issues with pain, you're tired of dealing with the pain, arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, you need an energy cleaner. If you have issues with sleep, you also need an energy cleaner. $285 shipping included to American zip codes. The mattress pads vary in price depending on what you need. You already have an energy cleaner? You want to get more use out of it? Then check out the Micro Plush Throws. They're warm, cozy, and elegant. You can use them on your bed, of course, on your recliner, on your sofa, on your car seat, and your work seat. Only $85 shipping included to American zip codes. You can place your order for your energy cleaner, your mattress pad, your Micro Plush Throw right there at my website using PayPal, or you can call my toll-free order line. It's 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. One I'm shipping today goes out from the Little Country Post Office and Country Store at Cherryville, Missouri, where tonight they have an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet for $13. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications, ham radio. Another bonus of the ham radio clubs is 9 out of 10 of the men and women there are also preppers, aren't they, Tom?
Yes, that's true, and you see more of that these days, John. There's quite an interest in that in the ham radio community. There always was an interest in prepping, but I think it's that interest level has gained in popularity in recent years. So it's a great place to go if you want to meet other people that have similar interests as yourself. It's something to take into consideration, and they will also be glad to help you get started and get your station on the air and learn how to do do all the on-the-air things that you want to do.
That's right. That's right. Well, we encourage people, we educate people, we nudge them, but ultimately it's up to the individuals to make their own decision and move forward, isn't it, Tom?
It is. It is, and a good start is to maybe get a scanner and a shortwave radio to listen in, because at a minimum, even if you never get into ham radio, those are two items that would be very, very important to have in the coming years. The shortwave radio would give you broadcast from sources that are worldwide without using internet or anything like that.
Right.
And then the scanners, also you'd be able to hear the ham radio operators in various parts of the country reporting what's going on in their area. If you do buy shortwave radio, it's very wise to get one that has single sideband capabilities, because that's what it will take to hear the ham operators in any government type of traffic. Overseas flights, they use a lot of HF communications on there. Now, much of it's been offloaded to satellites, but still, there's a lot of activity on the HF frequencies for aircraft.
Absolutely.
It has to be single sideband.
All right. I've got a Bearcat scanner with 12,000. That's 1-2 with 3 zeros. 12,000 pre-programmed frequencies in there. I can pick up pretty much everything with that one scanner. I have it in one of my town cars, and it's a marvelous piece of equipment, been around for years. Of course, radio has changed. Back in the 30s and 40s, people, if they wanted a high-end piece of entertainment equipment in their living room, there was no TV at the time, they would get a piece of equipment that would play phonograph records. It could pick up AM radio stations and shortwave stations. I'm not sure FM was around back then. When did FM broadcast get started, Tom, if you know?
Well, FM came online. I I believe, in the late 40s. They were experimenting in the 1930s with it, but it came on in the late 40s. It's, and getting into the 50s, it became more popular. John, I had a car. I had a 64 Impala Supersport, and that car had a factory AM/FM radio in it. So in the early 60s, they were starting to do this, and they were showing up in the cars. So and that radio was pretty sensitive. It worked pretty good. But FM was just really starting to go big time in the getting into the late 60s, early 70s, right. It really started picking up.
Well, my parents had one of those big consoles that you could pick up the shortwave frequencies on in our living room. It was a beautiful piece of furniture with very elegant polished wood. And in the bottom part, there was this movable antenna that you could spin around with a dial on the face of the console to get the best reception of the shortwave signal. I didn't know what I was doing as a boy, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, but I thought it was fascinating that this piece of equipment was in our living room. And that was pretty common in thousands of homes all over the country, wasn't it?
Well, there was a lot of that equipment in use, and the reason the antenna swiveled around like that was because you were probably listening to the lower shortwave frequencies, and you could use that antenna almost for direction finding as well. And also that console unit may have had long wave frequencies in it as well, and that's where those rotating antennas would come into play. There were some portable equipment back in the day that had the antenna on top of the portable radio would swivel around, and they'd actually have a calibrated dial on there, so you could set it with a compass and then see how many degrees off from the true north that the signal was coming from. It was pretty easy to do, and that could be used on boats, pleasure craft, and some other types of boats and ships use that similar type of equipment for direction finding and to calibrate their course to figure out which way they were going.
Yeah, well, things have changed a lot, but on one hand, on the others, things remained the same. When everything else fails, the shortwave frequencies will still be functioning, and you can get reports from all over the world right now in normal times and from all over the world in hard times, can't you, Tom?
Yes, you can, and it's a great source of information. The shortwave stations, many of them have gone off the air, and a lot of their broadcasts have gone to internet, but there's still facilities out there, and there's still a lot of stations on the air, and I think it's a very wise thing to do if you are into preparedness, and that is to have a shortwave radio, but it absolutely must have single sideband capabilities. If you're seeking anything more than just a general broadcast, those are still on AM, but if you want to hear any of the ham radio activity or any of the government traffic, any of the aeronautical transmissions for overseas flights, that's all on single sideband.
Now, explain to people what single sideband is, because they may not know.
Okay, well, basically what it is, with AM, you have a carrier occupies no bandwidth. It's just a frequency that's transmitted, and at a specific power level, and then the modulation is applied to that. That's AM, and there's on AM you have an upper and a lower sideband as well as a carrier. This is where chalkboard to make this a lot easier, but I'll do the best I can. On single sideband, they remove the carrier because it carries no information, but it just carries the signals, and that's perhaps why they call it carrier wave, and the information is contained in the sidebands. Well, it was determined many, many years ago that the information is what you want. The carrier just carries it and comes along for the ride, but occupies and uses up quite a bit of power. So if you concentrate on the intelligence part, the modulation part, and eliminate the carrier, you save a lot of power. And a single sideband transmitter will consume very little power if you don't talk. So in between the voice peaks, the power level goes way down. And that's not so on AM. And also on an AM transmitter. See, the ham operators are allowed 1.5 kilowatts or 1,500 watts peak power. On single sideband, that's how much power you can run. But on AM, you cannot, because on AM, the power will be four times the output power of the carrier, and the modulation peaks will be four times that. If you ran a 1,500-watt AM transmitter, you'd be in a violation of the regulations for ham operators. So the maximum you can run on AM legally would be 375 watts. So that's
a lot of power.
That's a whole lot of power. But single sideband is very efficient. I think the main thing here is for weak signal work, it works very well. It's used on a lot of military aircraft. As a matter of fact, John, it's even used on, in the old days, I don't know if they still use the transatlantic cables and all that. A lot of the telephony circuits on there were actually single sideband, and they may have had sometimes they put a little bit of carrier wave in there, just a little bit that they can notch out at the reception end, mainly so that they can phase lock, what they call phase lock. They can lock onto that carrier. It's really difficult to lock onto a single sideband signal. You tune the dial just a little bit and it starts sounding like Donald Duck. But if you get a very stable receiver and tune it in just right, it sounds pretty natural. But on some of the telephone circuits, they may have had a little bit of carrier in there, a very small percentage, just enough so that they could lock onto that signal for frequency stability. But anything more than that, it starts getting pretty complex. But we'll go as deep as you want. I'll do the best I can. If you want to discuss that.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and discuss it. Yeah, sure.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the history of single sideband really came about with Arthur Collins. He founded Collins Radio in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. As a kid, he was very interested, and they started experimenting with single sideband. I don't know if he invented it. I don't think so. But he was a very early pioneer, and he was good friends with General Curtis LeMay. And because of that friendship, they started experimenting on military aircraft with single sideband. I think it was maybe in the late 40s, very early 50s. And Collins Radio Company then made some of the equipment that they used for these tests. And a lot of this was on military frequencies. Some of it was on ham frequencies. But Art Collins went along with Curtis LeMay on some of these flights, and they actually tested this out. And then it became, because of Curtis LeMay, it became the mode of communications for the Strategic Air Command. And they were the very early pioneers with this. And the ham operators, you know, they take notice of this stuff and they start paying attention. Now, the equipment back in those days was very, very expensive. And the methods for generating the single sideband signal were much more complex than they are today. You had some of the early equipment had what they called phasing type transmitters. And they would notch out the carrier with a phasing by changing the phase. Well, I wish I had that chalkboard. I could draw pictures and it would make sense. But then they also went to crystal filters. There were crystal filters that would filter out and only pass through the wanted sideband. So you had upper sideband and lower sideband. And the receiver then, that's how they generated the signal, and a receiver would have similar filters. And this also allowed better use of the spectrum, because you're only using one half of the bandwidth that would be needed to carry that signal. You got rid of the carrier and all the heterodyne. And heterodyne is when two signals mix together, they produce a blurred signal.
I interrupt you. We got a break coming up. We got a caller on hold here. We'll get through the break. We'll take this call after the break.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
We are back. Tom, our caller is Doug in Texas. Good morning, Doug.
Morning, Tom.
Tom, I just wanted to comment on single sideband. I have a older unit, Cobra CB, which is the 148 GTL, which has single sideband capability, and paired with a Wilson 1000 antenna. Now, that's an older setup there, but I tell you what, for monitoring single sideband, which is really what I use it for as a ham operator, it's a dynamite setup. Are you familiar with those two pieces of equipment?
No, I'm not. I recognize the name or the brand name, but I never did get into CB. I've never messed with any type of CB equipment. I've repaired a few for friends that had trouble with them, but that's the extent of my CB knowledge.
Yeah, the 148 GTL's been around a long time. It was one of the original Citizens Band radios that was used years and years ago. And just an impressive piece of equipment as far as, you know, Citizens Band is concerned. But like I said, yeah, for single sideband monitoring like you're talking about, which I completely agree with, it really picks up signal quite well, low power, with that Wilson 1000. And as far as being able to transmit, it's quite impressive. I don't know, John, if you're familiar with the old 148 GTL. Again, I'm a ham operator myself, but I really like that one piece of equipment. And just thought I'd comment and see what you thought.
Right. Well, I've used ham radio equipment for 40 years, mostly to monitor what the truckers say on the highways. It saved me hours of sitting on the interstate because of an accident or construction, because the CB truckers on the trucker will give you a heads up and be able to exit before you get stuck for hours because of a fatal traffic accident or construction. So that's an excellent purpose for CB right there, if nothing else.
Absolutely. And just one last comment, John, I'll let you all go, is Tom, use your energy cleaner. Absolutely love it. Bought multiple energy cleaners from John. It has been just a godsend for me. It's a tremendous healing device and has helped me in so many ways to get over some surgery challenges as well as family members. And I want to thank you for producing and John for offering that piece of equipment, because it has been life-changing. And
fantastic.
So thank you.
That's what we do. We help people get their lives back. Thanks for the call, Doug. It's always gratifying, Tom, to get these attaboys, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, John. And I'm glad that's working good for Doug there in Texas.
Thank you. Tom, thank you. We'll talk privately soon. We have top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Scott Huff. Stay tuned.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is RBN, the
The Republic Broadcasting Network.